All right, there it is, Game of Fools, the latest edition of Game of Fools. And I do, I love the way you guys tied that EP together. So you guys have talked about, I don't want to talk about the new music yet. What I want to talk about is I purposely picked out, you know, some of the filler music tonight, other than the Wicked Tree stuff, and included bands like, I don't know, Limberlost and Cliff Wheeler Band. And I kind of did that on purpose because I hear there's been a lot of discussion between some of our Music Mafia Radio featured artists about potentially getting out on the road together this summer.
There has been some chatter with both of those bands. Cliff is right down the street from us, not too far, close to you. Limberlost is out west. So, I mean, we're definitely thinking about doing something once all this COVID kind of goes away, about doing like a three band show, or we could just go out to the west and go to visit everybody else. But, yeah, we're talking with everybody to see what we can do as far as, you know, gigging shows and that kind of stuff. Another one that we're talking to is our buddy Jeff over at Race the Rap. So we're going to see what we can do with him. We have a lot of talks with a lot of other bands. So I think it's going to be kind of cool. We'll have a lot of fun in it. So, you know, it is with a lot of your Music Mafia crew and with us. So I think we'll do well.
Yeah, I think you will too. And Chaz, I never got a chance to say this like face to face, but thank you so much for turning us on to Race the Rat.
Oh, my pleasure. They tried to, they approached me as far as to do bass work with them. And at the time I was starting with, the other band that we were with. And then, we got together with this one here and did more and more, but I've not, discounted that, but they're doing really well. So I think I'm just going to leave that one alone. They have a really fantastic bass player with them right now and they're doing great. So, and yeah, and then he's like, hey, man, and it's like, dude, just go on there and do your thing. And I'm so glad that he did and took the band on to Music Mafia, man. And then it's just helped them out so much. And I'm glad they're doing really, really well. As you know, like I said, even with Limberlost and Cliff and like a lot of stuff that you're putting out there, man, I really appreciate, you know, the things that you guys are doing for a lot of the you know, the bands that are going on to there. I mean, I know you hear a lot of stuff and some of it's good, some of it's bad, but you know, it is what it is, and I'm just so happy that you're putting the stuff out there for everybody, you know, across the world to hear, because that's when a few things that I get the feedback from is like, oh, I listen to Music Mafia Radio. I was like, in the jungle? You know, down in Africa? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right. I watched them in 4 years there. That kind of prefaces that. So a lot of my friends that are there, you know, they see me, so they listen to your Music Mafia Radio out in the middle of nowhere, man. So be thankful, man, happy for that one there, Cos, because that's kind of a cool thing. I was like, cool, man. So I'll see if they can chat you up one of these days.
Yeah, it is kind of fun to, and I only get to see a little bit of the geographic breakdown because the provider we're with, the service is great. The reporting sucks. We have frequent conversations about improving that, but it is kind of cool to know that what we're doing here is helping you guys and helping the rest of these artists.
Absolutely, man.
Get noticed in places that you wouldn't normally expect, and it only makes sense. I mean, you know, in Japan right now, U.S. rock is like the number one thing. Over in Europe, for some reason, country music
is exploding over there.
Yep. Yeah, Germany. It's like country music is big in Germany. You have country music is big in Germany, but then you have bands like the Scorpions and Accept that are
Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk. Oh, jeez. I love educated musicians.
Said with love.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. You know, just the around the world, what's popular, you know, and we get trapped in what we think is popular here in the States. And we're like, oh man, you know, what's going on with music? But then we forget there's a whole world out there that still loves, rockabilly, that still loves, classical heavy metal, classical music, and then country music. Throw country music in there. you know, it's just crazy. You know, what takes off in, you know, in one country and is dying in another country doesn't mean that the artist is done. It just means that they maybe need to leave a different footprint somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, it just proves that, you know, real music is still appreciated in other parts of the world. If we could only get that to happen here.
You know, I cause I think that there's a lot of young kids out there that if they ever took the time to listen to a Pink Floyd album or an Eagles album or a Fleetwood Mac album, that they would hear the sonic value in that. Oh. And their heads would be blown away because, you know, a lot of stuff is just, you know, compressed and put into the same sound room, and then kids plug into their headphones and they listen to a lot of what I call bubblegum. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they listen to something like a Pink Floyd album or a Eagles album or
Led Zeppelin, Motorhead,
you know, yeah, or Motorhead, you know, any of that, it's like, I don't care what, if you love music, you're going to be blown away because this is something that's old school that was engineered and produced with, you know, four guys with their hands on the faders pushing and pulling to make a completed work.
Oh, yeah. I can remember a night. It was probably 14 or 15 years ago. It was when streaming music was just starting to become a thing. I was sitting at home and I put together a playlist of all the number one, the Billboard number ones of the 70s. And if you think about it, the 70s, I mean, that was everything from like Neil Sedaka to Zeppelin.
I mean, yeah, Captain and Tennille.
You had all that stuff going on. And one night I was playing it and I used to turn up my music to piss the kids off. And I think it was Highway to Hell came on.
Oh, you're not gonna piss me off!
And all of a sudden, you know, I'm downstairs in the family room, and I can
turn that down.
No, I can hear footsteps above me coming down the stairs, and my oldest one, who was I don't know, probably 15 years old at the time, looked at me and goes, "Dad, you listen to AC/DC?" It's like, dude, I was buying those albums when they were brand new.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. I think you had a good point. I think if people were exposed to what I call real music, instead of the bubblegum crap, that they would realize that rock, you know, good hard rock didn't die 30 years ago. It's still going on with some really cool stuff added to it. Country music has evolved. You know, we've got Nashville nonprofits doing the cowpunk stuff. And there is something for everybody. You just got to be able to go out and get it. And I mean, that's why we're here is I want to play real music in the hopes that I could turn on FM radio someday and hear real music again and not classics. But,
you know, there's one young band out there, love them or hate them. Mm-hmm. There's one young band out there there's an old soul that's producing that band. It's not, and I'm going to say the band, Greta Van Fleet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there's an old soul at the engineering producing side of that is producing them like Zeppelin and producing them like a 70s mix. And that is what I appreciate about that band. I love that about that band. And that's the way that's my approach to this band is that unapologetic, whatever it may be, I'm trying to produce something sonically for this band that represents this band because there is something to be said about those old 70s mixes. It's why Greta Van Fleet is popular right now with young kids and older adults. It's because they have said to hell with this modern day mixing style. We're going to go back to when it was legit and we're going to bring it back into popularity. And I think if more bands, more rock bands did that, there would be this transition of more kids, younger adults saying, what the hell is this?
And you know what I think part of that is too? When you record the old school way, yeah. mic in front of an amp,
there you go.
You get the energy.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Haven't done it both ways. And I love plugins, but the energy, especially with a live band,
and that's the way we
isn't
do
there unless you put the mics in there and you risk it.
Yep.
We're putting it all on the chopping block. We can mess it up.
Yeah.
We can nail it, but we're all going and for it together as a group.
Yeah. And that's what you're hearing. And Derek, you bring up a good point. That's the way we track it. We put an SN57. Yeah, we put a 57 in front of these mics. It's a mic that's been around for 60 years, but it's tried and true. You put a 57 on a mic, you track it. We've got 57s and Shures on the drums, and it's proven. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're taking old school technology, and we're trying to produce it in a way that other engineers and producers have done it for, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. And I mean, Derek, you're absolutely right. I mean, you catch the rawness of the track. And then you can go in and you can fix it a little bit, but I like the fact. And I think that's what we're seeing is a lot of the more traditional rock bands these days kind of taking that old school approach. And the other thing that's happening is I'm seeing a bunch of them being produced by and recorded by guys our age.
Right.
And so you're getting that old soul behind the board, kind of using the tricks that they've been using for 40 or 50 years. And I mean, you guys do that and then you turn around and you send it over to KT Productions and
John KT, our main man, yes, in Minnesota. Yes, sir.
No, Wisconsin. Either way, it's cold.
It's cold up there. I don't know where that is, man.
Cold as shit up there.
Yeah, it's like,
John, if you're listening,
we love you, John.
Yep, absolutely.
You are the man. He is the mix master for sure. I mean, we were using some other stuff before, and it was just kind of like,
he is our master.
Wasn't there. Then once we sent it to John, and John's on the same wavelength as we are, as far as being sonic and stuff. So we tell him, here's what, because I mean, we kind of had to figure out what we really wanted to do, because we wanted to bring like a West Coast Northwest sound into it. And then also, keep our East Coast roots kind of real. So we kind of amalgamed all those sounds together. I brought my California thing to it. And then these cats brought their, the East Coast stuff, and that's what we're kind of doing. So we hope you guys like the mix, and we dig it, man. So we pretty much, what we do is we do stuff that we like and the sound that we're going for, and that's what we're doing. And then John comes in there and just like lays it down, man. He's totally on our on our wavelength as far as what we want to do and the sounds we want to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's on it.
Side of things, John is knocking out of the park, and he's easy.
So shameless plug for John KT. If you want to get your music sounding right.
Yep.
Dial 911, John KT.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is listening, because I can see him in the show chat.
He is doing a lot of good stuff. He's up for a couple of awards. He's I'll let him speak what he's done, but John has really gotten a lot of notoriety as of late. I mean, positive stuff too. I don't want to misspeak, so I'm not going to speak for him. But yeah, I would, if you get him back on the air, man, that'd be really cool, because I think he's done a lot of good stuff. Like I said, so the awards are coming his way now, so he's doing really well.
Yeah,
and that is great to hear. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the new music that's coming up. Yeah, I've heard that devilish laugh more than once when I bring it up. So again, inquiring minds want to know.
About new music.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get, we have, right now, Derek's brought up a couple riffs to us, and so we've pretty much planed off of that. We're pushing, everybody's pushing each other now pretty, pretty hard. Chris Leslie's pushing me on occasion to do my bass work a little different. He's the one that came in there, told me to do a slide bass on the last EP that we did. And he just sonically pushes me to do things like play it like Iron Maiden, play it like this. And so it's like, okay, so I'll try and do what Chris is trying to tell me to do.
It's,
and then it with Derek, for as far as the string work, Derek is also sonically pushing me as well too, because he brings an idea to us and then it's like, I need to figure out what I've got to do. And then it just goes a step and step and further beyond what we've originally, because there's a couple songs that we did. We started out like, and everybody else does. I mean, I'm sure it's just you start out with something, it turns out to be completely 180, and there it goes. But Derek was really pushing stuff. Chris's voice, I think, is hitting on all eight cylinders. It's the best I've ever heard as far as the few years that I've been with him. And I think he's pretty much just now, I mean, we're all grown together in the last year, and it's just really, really cool. As far as anything else, it's just there's going to be some different directions that we're going, but it's going to stay true to our sound and our tone and our things that we want to do. You guys are really going to like it a lot. It's some really fun stuff. God, I don't know what else say it's, without giving half of it away.
We're not going to be afraid. Cool. We're not going to be afraid to put something out there. You know, if we like it, if the four of us like it, that's exactly the main thing. Four of us like it, we trust our ears enough to say, I think other people will like this. And then we run with it. And it's part of jam. You know, when we get a little inside Wicked Tree information. We get together every Thursday night, you know, for a few hours, and we jam, and we'll come up. You know, it may be one or two notes that Derek may play, or Chaz may play something on the bass, and I'm like, whoa, play that again. And he'll play it, and then Chris would start to do something on the drums, and the next thing you know, you've got this 40 or 50% idea that you're like, we can build on this. And we have 8 or 10 of those, and then, you know, then there's four songs that we're working on currently that we've already started tracking that are going to come really, really quickly. They're all in the pipeline right now, but that's how we're doing it. It's jam. You know, we jam. If we hear a note or something that grabs our attention, or Derek brings an idea, he's like, hey, I have this idea in my head, and he starts to play it. And within 5 seconds, you're like, oh, okay, we've got something here.
But I think you hit it on the head. You said, you know, if the four of you guys like it, you're not afraid to put it out there.
And no.
But look back over the history of music. I mean, every band that we've mentioned by name, with maybe the exception of Captain Tennille and Neil Sedaka, each one of those bands was willing to take that risk, and you know that they were putting out stuff that they believed in. And more than once, we could look at any one of them and find a point in their career where the press is going, what the hell are they doing? They're changing their sound. And then 6 months later, they're like, we're so glad they changed their sound. This stuff is just absolutely incredible, but still true to the band type of thing. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are willing to take that risk, because if you don't do that, then the shit becomes a little bit cookie cutter. And I don't see you guys. I've never seen you guys as a cookie cutter band. So
that's not what we want to do.
No, you know, and cause we're at the age now to where it's like, we've seen so many bands go by the wayside that do sign and go on to do great things. They become these cookie cutter bands, and it's almost embarrassing in a way. And I won't name any names out there, because there was a lot of bands 15 years ago that started out like, oh my God, you guys sound great. And now what the hell are you doing? You know, I don't know if the almighty dollar is something that just runs people's lives, but you got to, at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, you have to be true to yourself. You know, you can't say, hey, you guys are going to be a great country band, and, you know, you're going to make millions of dollars. I don't know that I could be a country musician.
Right.
You know, and get up on the stage or perform and not feel lifeless. You know what I mean? It's you have to have the money doesn't give you life and it doesn't give you energy. So what you have to do, you have to own what you do. And I don't want to speak for the guys here, but you have to love what you do. It's not worth the money. You know, if the, at the end of the day you have millions of dollars, but you're still this lifeless shell at the end of it. You know, I'm that's not who I'm going to be.
Well, and I was having a conversation, I don't know. Oh, maybe it was with Jason Ray Welsh and Cliff. And we were kind of talking about this. I mean, there were bands like Boston. You know, first album comes out and everybody just goes apeshit crazy over it.
Yeah. Great band. Great album.
Great band, great album, but they never really progressed from there.
It's Ed, Tom know, Schultz.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you know, it's almost like everything they had went into that first album, and then the second album wasn't too bad, but it certainly wasn't the first. And we were able to name a bunch of bands that hit the scene with that great clamor and being the next big thing, yeah, and just weren't able to keep up with the creativity. And so now I you know, and it's not putting any pressure on you guys, because I have no doubt, but I think you guys have got the right attitude. You know, we're going to keep letting this music evolve and stay true to the Wicked Tree sound and the Wicked Tree mentality. But again, you know, most of the bands that we've talked about and that you guys have mentioned or I've mentioned, you know, were able to kind of navigate their way through different. It's not even necessarily different styles, but just a little bit of a change to the sound that brought new life to them and allowed them to go on to the next new sound and
change in sound. How funny you mentioned that, man. Some of the stuff that we do, just the other day, man, I play with a lot of effects for any obviously you can hear them. We were doing a song and we're trying to figure out something else that we needed to do. Derek was, he was cutting guitar track
on one of the newer songs.
Yeah. And I have an octave flanger on there, which I kind of liked. And when I heard Royal Blood play with the song, and I thought it was pretty cool. So I decided to get one. So I was like, and Derek's like, I wish I could do something with, you know, different. And I what did you say? I can't remember what it was.
It was, we were double tracking the rhythm. And you guys are like, you got anything else? I was like, not really. And then I was like, wait, I kind of hear this warbly guitar to clean up this part, a distinct tone, but I don't know anything other than this vague term warbly. So Chaz, like, I got you.
Yeah. And he nailed it. He nailed it.
So absolutely. I pulled an octave flanger off my board and I gave it to Derek, and Derek plugged it into his line of effects. And then next thing you know, you'll hear it on one of our tracks. It's pretty cool.
Stands out.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Right now, I didn't mean it.
Oh no, man, it's cool. So we're not afraid to push what we have to do and push each other, like I said. But like I said, we'll still keep to the sound that we're doing, but we're just gonna make it better, I guess. And you know, and getting back to the thing is like, you know, you can wag $200,000 in our face, and you know,
I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. But I mean, you know, that's all cool. But what's really better is like if we make something that we really like and it makes you guys happy and you guys dig the music, that's jackpot. That's money to me. That's my thing. I don't really give a fuck about you know, all the money and bullshit like that. Whatever, we'd be a bleep bleep bleep. Yeah, Chaz is talking, right? But it's like if we dig the sound and we like it, that's cool. If you like it, hey, that's even better, man. You know,
but that's the, you know, the attitude that we have here is it's not about the image. It's not, I don't care if you've got 15 followers on social media or you got 15 million.
Right.
You know, I every day I've got to go through submissions and what it is focusing on nothing but the music. And is the music going to catch my ear in a way that I think folks are going to really dig? And that's where you guys, you know, right from the very start, you had that sound. And I've heard more than one person talk about, you know, we hear that West Coast influence in the sound and it's incredible. I mean, we've got folks, all I gotta do is mention Wicked Tree and they're like, yeah, play it.
That's awesome. Cool. Thanks, man. Very cool.
And those are the kinds of things I think you guys are talking about. And that's what's really kind of cool about the indie music scene is you know, I think you guys have kind of settled into, I don't want to say settled in, but you found a groove that works for you. Not only musically, but as four guys in a band. I mean, you guys are definitely one of those close knit groups. If you guys get the chance to do the thing with Limberlost here over the summer, you're going to see the same thing from them.
They're really really cool and unique band. I like them a lot.
And they're really tight. They're like family.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And absolutely. That's, you know, Kaz, that's the thing about this band. You have four guys that do not step on toes. We laugh, we joke, we play. If I told these four guys and we haven't rehearsed a particular song, if I said, you guys have this song for 3 minutes and 30 seconds. It is in a rough form. And I said, we're going to play this next week from our practice the previous week. The four guys would come in here and we would play it not at 95%. It's just that you have four guys that would dedicate themselves to a rehearsal and not a practice. And that's the difference. And at the same time, there's not one critical person in this band that would step on the other's toes or say, play it this way. It doesn't sound good that way.
Yeah, play a D minor descending into crescendo, whatever. I'm like, dude, what?
It's just, you know? You have four guys that
but we have the honesty to say, you know what? That don't sound good.
That sucked. You want to replay that again? I had to redo my bass track because we're all like, dude, that bass track sucks. And for real, I was like, it does. So I had to redo it.
We all appreciate that. I have the guys tell them, you know, if they say, hey, sing it differently, I'm going to sing it differently because I trust them. And Chris is the same way with on the drums, and Derek's the same way. We're listening to one another with a critical ear because we trust each other. Mm-hmm. And that is very, very rare to find.
Absolutely.
And that's why I told the guys, I've been telling the guys, this is the best band that I've played in. Talent wise, me personally, at my age, I'm hitting a good peak, and because I haven't been used up, I haven't been singing this way for 20 plus years, and Chris hasn't been on drums playing this way for 20 years, and Chaz and Derek, so we're at the right spot. Where we're where we should be at this time. That's my personal. The universe has put us here at this time.
Yeah,
that's personal thought.
Well, and I love that close knit thing. And what it does is it allows you guys to bring accountability into it in a positive way.
Yeah,
you know, as opposed to that sucks. Play it again. You know,
well, we hear that too, but we don't get all butthurt,
Well, yeah, but I mean, Chaz, you mentioned it. You know, you talked about how the guys are pushing you musically,
and yeah, they are,
and that doesn't happen if there's not a complete buy-in by all parties involved to be able to take, a little bit from here and a little bit from there, and come up with that sound that when you get done with it, you go, oh shit, man, I didn't know we could even do that.
Yeah, we surprise ourselves. Sometimes it's like, whoa. Yeah. And Derek, especially to me, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, we'll play it and rehearse and stuff, and then Derek will lay some lead, and it's like, and me and Chris are looking at you like, where the fuck did that come from, man? And it's like, yeah, bleep again. Who cares? But it's like, wow, man. And thank God for the iPhone, because I can record some of that stuff on the iPhone.
And that's what we do.
That's what we do. We just like sit down there, and we're like, we'll come up with a riff. It's like, hey. And then Chris, like, track it on the iPhone. And we do. And then as we're driving home to our respective places at night, I'll send it out to everybody and we'll listen to it. And then that's what we do. And so that's where a lot of our stuff comes from, is we sit down there and track stuff on my iPhone, and we'll play it. And then I've got a whole – I mean, I sent you some of the iPhone tracks and stuff.
You're,
we should probably put out an album with the iPhone tracks.
You're no longer tracking back in garage days with a cassette player.
Yeah.
You know, we're setting up plug an iPhone. Plug it in
your Walkman or whatever.
And you're recording
it. Shut up, Grandpa. Don't be like dating us, dude. Jesus.
Well, but and on the way home, Chaz
I'm will not that old,
send really. The audio of to practice, Chris is, you know, jams that we had, and we'll listen to them. And the next day, we're all weighing in saying, man, that was really good, or that one really sucked.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But those are the songs that you're hearing right now. We're jamming, and they're being tracked on an iPhone. And then we take that foundation and build upon it. And that's the way it was done. You had a jam, you took those songs that were good from the jam, and you made those into completed works.
Yeah. I got to correct one thing, because I'm sure there's some place around there is a picture of Chaz in a band in a garage with a Radio Shack cassette recorder.
There you go.
With the little plastic condenser mic plugged into it.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true.
We are that old, dude.
Yeah, but I don't feel it.
No, neither do I.
I snort Geritol, so there you go. That's what keeps me going. Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about snorting it.
It's organic. Dude,
it's really organic
Geritol.
Right. It is. It's organic.
Huh.
GMO.
Yeah. Right. Not GMO.
Not GMO, whatever.
Fitty, write that down. I got to remember that. All right, so let's see. Where are we? You know what? I've had a blast. We've been talking for like an hour.
No, we don't get to talk much.
Well, no, we don't. And I've already committed to you guys that I'm going to be better about that, because I suck at it.
Well, didn't you just, like, you're all set up now, right? I mean, your studios, you said the other day, was actually 100%.
No, it's not 100%. We got to do some work in the space. I mean, I'm up and I'm going, and I've got it pretty much the way that I want to have it. Mm-hmm. And you know, the house is pretty well set up at this point. And I mean, at some point, Fitty and I'll go out and get little part-time jobs. You know, my part-time job will involve asking you if you want paper or plastic. It's getting there, and we got some stuff. We got some stuff rolling on this end too. I can be just as freaking mysterious as you guys can. So
we're not mysterious.
We just don't like put the cat in the bag with some of the stuff that we're doing. I mean, I think when we actually do the release, it's going to be, we're going to do like one song out of it, and the rest of the stuff will obviously be with it. But it's just going to be really hard to put out what we want to do as like the one signature song for it, I guess, because there's some stuff that's gonna hit you with everything we got, man. And it's just really cool. I mean, all of this stuff is, as far as I'm concerned, but there's a couple that are my personal favorites. Yeah. And Chris said he wanted Queensryche sound, but he wanted to put like a Mindcrime tune to it. And then he says, but I want like Iron Maiden bass line. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me, dude. So yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that's coming out, man. So, but it's got the Wicked Tree spin to it. Yeah. And then the drums come in, and it's like and for Chris Leslie, I'm gonna dime up my drummer while he's not here. He got a double bass thing going. What? Yeah. He has been dead set against double bass. It was the first day I met him.
Even though he's really, 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 really good at it.
He's a great drummer, man.
He is one of those simplified, believe it or not, he's one of those simplified drummers. Stuart Copeland.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's his favorite drummer. Yep. He is a Police fan.
Yep.
And you hear a lot of his drum approach when he plays music, and it sounds very simple what he's doing sometimes, even though I know it's not very simple, because I record him
producing it. Yeah.
If you listen to his approach to playing, it's very Stuart Copeland,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing simple about it.
No, there's not.
He's
really working hard back there. And for me, you know, because he and I pretty much kind of have to keep together with some of the stuff that we do. So I have to watch his right leg, as he's hitting the, because it's like, what are you doing, man? And it takes a little bit for me to kind of catch what's going on with him. But if I watch his body movements, and it makes my timing a lot easier to stay up with him. And then that gives us space for Derek to do what he's got to do. So as long as we can kind of keep down the back thing, because we were wanting to do some kind of like Tool stuff that, you know, as far as that went, and just kind of do a little bit different timing rhythms and polyrhythms and things like that. And we have something like that coming out, but it just takes a lot of work to keep what we're doing going as far as that goes. So that's going to be another interesting thing that you'll hear. But yeah, he's really working hard behind the kit, and I'm really happy with what he's doing and just so proud of him, man. And he's brought some other instruments in as far as what he does on his kit. I don't know what they are, but it's like, it sounds great.
He's a beast, a monster behind the drum kit. And he is a beast on the drums.
We have to shield him with like glass.
We're very fortunate to have him, and he's also the studio drummer too. For the studio, just because he is so well rounded that he can do country, you know,
and Western.
He can do a lot of things that I ask him to do when it comes to producing other you know artists that come into the studio. That's the guy that's not here this evening, but. He's down. The weather has him down. He's not feeling so good, but he'll bounce back.
He got the day job blues.
Give him a couple of days. He'll be good to go. Yeah.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that he's doing the whole double bass drum thing.
I never would have expected that. Dude, what? What? Double bass? No way. He tried to rig it up to his thing, and we tried it, and
he likes to be single bass, do a lot of syncopated stuff on the kick and stuff like that. But he can be a beast on the double kick when he wants to be. But very, very creative when it comes to percussion. He's a Neil and I hope I say this right, Neil Peart. And Chris will call me up and say, you didn't say it right.
You didn't say it right.
But he's a Neil Peart type.
He's very musical.
Very musical.
Yeah, very methodical when he does.
You don't always get that with a drummer, but he's very musical. He's got that element, that creativity brings in.
Like he'll throw some stuff in there. It's like, wow. Just small little nuanced things into what we're doing. And it's just like, I need to do this. I need to put this little bell into this one little piece right here. I'm like, okay.
And then when he does it.
Yeah, then he does it. It's like, it's worth it. But it's like, okay, Psycho Boy, what are you doing, man? he just lays it into it. It's like, wow.
Mad scientist.
He's the professor, man. He's like,
with that double bass, he doesn't come in. It's not blah, 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 blah. It's a pattern. He's got a pattern that I need that second kick for.
Yep, and he did it, man. It was like, wow. Yeah, you'll hear it.
No, I hear the Stuart Copeland. I definitely hear the Stuart Copeland when I listen to your stuff. And I even hear some of the I don't know. I hear like a little bit of Billy Cobham in there every once in a while too.
Yeah, he's gone down, and I messed with him one day. I was like, "Can you do Charlie Watts?" And he did, you know. And it was funny because we were laughing about it. But I mean, I think Charlie Watts is, to me, obviously, you know, Neil Peart is and Stuart Copeland are amazing. But I mean, to me, Charlie Watts has always been the drummer that I went to. Because I listened to the Stones a lot when I was growing up, and then that's the guy that for me was like the drummer,
great jazz drummer.
Yeah, and then his timing was just impeccable, man. Yeah. You could sit down there and just hold a watch to Charlie Watts' timing. It was just absolutely amazing. So for me to learn from that, I think was absolutely the coolest thing growing up as far as a bass player.
And he's so flexible, because the other side that for me that I connected with was the Tim Alexander with Primus.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, I got you.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, yep. All day.
All day.
Rose says you need more cowbell.
Rose, we will hook you up
with some cowbell for sure.
we will put cowbell in there with a cow mooing at the end of it.
Oh my God.
And the scary part is I can see you guys doing that.
An AM radio cow.
AM radio going on in the background. Oh, guys, this has been great. So before we wrap up, I know you guys have changed your social media approach. So why don't you tell folks where they're going to get the latest and greatest from you guys?
Right now, our best platform to get is we went off a large platform, which was Facebook. That was a personal thing for me. I had issues with some stuff that was going on with Facebook, so I just got to put that out there. The reason why we went off there was a personal issue with me and a few things that were going on that I didn't like, and so whatever with that. Stuff is on Instagram. You can find us at WickedTree or Tree Wicked on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us WickedTree on Twitter. www.wickedtreeband.com is our main platform. That everything's pretty much on there as far as that goes.
Reverb Nation,
right. Spotify, SoundCloud. I don't remember the stuff that's down in the rest of the world as far as that goes, but pretty much on every platform that you think that is out there, we're on. And like I said, again, shout outs to you, brother, for the stuff that you're putting out there for us on Music Mafia Radio and all the rest of the guys throughout the world. I saw Mr. Banks chime in. I don't want to call your other person out or whatever, but I mean, I saw people from Australia just chimed me and said, "Hey, man, great show," or whatever. But you know, from other places as well too. I'm looking at my phone and like, wow, okay, cool. So for you, Kaz, your stuff's going all over the world right now. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, and he happens to be my favorite Australian DJ, by the way.
There you go. And then, everybody out throughout the world, thank you so much again for listening to us. And, you know, I'd like to say a shout out to Lisa, Sylvia, and Naomi, my family, for putting up with my shit as I've been practicing the corner and my stuff that I'm listening to and spending too much money on, like, Wickman, whatever. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, just thanks for, you know, everybody, man, for digging the band. And we appreciate everything you've done. And,
absolutely.
And buy our CD. So there, so there you go. www.wickedtreeband.com.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but the last I heard, you had like 10 left.
You get more? Do we have any left?
What?
Do we have any left?
No.
I think we're sold out. So yeah, we'll probably go to another pressing or something. But we're going to have some cool stickers coming up. And we don't have a whole lot of swag, but whatever. You can just download our shit. And,
but we do have some things in the works.
We do have some stuff in the works. Yes, so we've got
more merchandise coming.
More swag coming your way and more tunes coming your way. And yeah, just like I said, man, thank you everybody out there for listening to us and digging our stuff. And we, like I said, and thanks to Music Mafia Radio, man, for putting in all the rest of the cats that are on there, man. That's like, your show is like totally cool and helping everybody out.
Absolutely.
And just listening to all the stuff and getting us hooked up with these other bands. It's going to be like so cool.
Oh man, you got no idea. I am so hoping that, you know, that you guys are able to pull that off this summer, because I get to hear, and Fiddy will make me travel, number one, but it's not like she's going to have to twist my arm, because to hear any two of the three together would be an incredible night. And if you guys are able to pull it off where it's all three, or you guys do something with Race the Rat and get down this way.
We're trying, and it kind of fell off in the last few weeks in the conversations with the other bands, but I mean, like I said, we're getting it back together as far as, because work is, for me, it's been like beating bad. So COVID hit, everybody's broke and bring their helicopters to my day job. It's like, stop it, man. I love y'all death, paying for bills, thank you, but it's back. Oh my god,
everybody's retiring.
Retiring. It's like, stop it. Leave your helicopters at home.
So we're ready to play music on a regular basis. Gosh,
and I'm ready for you guys to do that. So I want to thank you guys, number one, for keeping us in the loop, and it's been way too long since we've done something like this. And so maybe, you know, I don't know what the timing is, but maybe when that lead single comes out, we can get together. Maybe I can get all four of you that time.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke to Chris tonight, and you know, he's feeling bad. I can tell you right now, he's feeling bad and he wanted to be here, but he's probably sleeping as we talk right now. You know, his day job is taking a toll on him, and he has to be accountable and all that good stuff. But, you know, like I said, we all four of us have our day jobs and things that we do.
We don't want to.
we don't want our day jobs anymore, so buy our shit.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I mean, he's the only original member that I don't get to give shit to on a regular basis.
I'll give you his number.
I gave Derek a free pass tonight because he's the new guy. But that won't carry over the next time.
That new shiny stuff wore off, man. Once I heard him hit that lead about, you know, week four, that was it for me. And I was like, we're done.
Yeah.
You're
no longer the new guy.
You're no longer the new guy, man.
You're in the band.
Yep. Yeah.
So, again, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Matt, for interviewing us, brother. Appreciate it.
Oh, these are so much fun, especially, you know, when I get to sit down with my brothers and just, you know, we get to talk about stuff. For those of you that are listening, I'll be back in a little bit. Guys, stick around. We'll say goodbye offline. Once again, thank you so much. This was worth every single minute that I waited to do it.
It was a stone groove.
Yep. Absolutely loved it, guys. And, you know, to let everyone know that on this side of the mic, we can't listen to the live show. And I really wish that we could listen to the live show and interact with everybody.
But there's a thing called feedback.
There's a thing called feedback. So we're just sitting here. But, man, we really enjoyed you having us, you know, this evening, and I enjoyed being a part of everything.
We'll do it again soon, I promise. Okay. All right, cool. So I'll be back in a few. Here's Sammy Chaffee.